The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Please, 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 God has got an amazing plan for your life. Eye has not seen and ear has not heard all the good things that God has made ready, prepared, and stored up for those who love Him and obey Him with affectionate reverence.
As we walk through each new day, we all have questions. They're just part of life. But did you know there are answers for you? God says when we look, we'll find Him. He's not trying to hide anything. So together, we are discovering life's everyday answers. Have you ever heard someone say, or let's just be completely honest, thought to yourself, I don't want to give up certain things in my life to become a Christian, like it's going to cost more than they are ready to face? Well, salvation is a free gift from God, but when we begin a new life in Christ, there are sacrifices. Is it all worth it? Today, Joyce answers that question, and Christine Kane will be here to talk about her own journey, what she lost and what she gained. Everyday Answers tackles the question, what will it cost me to follow Christ?
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 says, we were chosen and foreknown by God the Father and consecrated. That means sanctified and made holy. That means set apart for a special purpose. Let me tell you something. You are not like everybody else out in the world who doesn't have Christ as their Savior. You don't get to do everything that they do. You don't get to act like they act. You have been, when the Holy Spirit came upon you, when Christ made you His home, He took you and set you apart for something special. He sanctified you, and in your spirit, He made you holy. You are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. You're a tripart being. In your spirit, when Christ comes to live in you, you have everything that you need in there to live a godly life and to behave the way Jesus would if He were here doing it today. It's all in you. It's not a matter of what's in you. What I'm working on is trying to get it out of you. Philippians 2:13, work out your own salvation. That doesn't mean work for salvation. We know that we're saved by grace and grace alone. It's only God's undeserved favor that our sins are forgiven. But then He says, take this salvation that's been given to you as a gift and work out your own salvation now with fear and trembling. So after you receive Christ as your Savior, your number one goal in life from that point on should be to learn how to do everything that God wants you to do, to let Him own you and possess you entirely, and to be of value to Him. And let me tell you, the more you do that, the happier you're going to be. You're going to get so happy, people are going to think you're crazy if you give your whole life to God. It's our selfish self-centeredness that makes us unhappy. It is very important that we get about the business of obedience. God is not alive to serve us. We are alive to serve Him. Now, if I could just take a little aside here for a minute. God loves you. He wants you to be blessed. The Bible says if you delight yourself in God, He'll give you the desires of your heart. God wants you to have nice things. He wants you to be the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. Lend to many nations, never have to borrow. Everything you lay your hand to should prosper and succeed. He wants to give you favor everywhere you go, open doors for you. But that's not all He wants. That's not all He wants. He wants us submitted, committed, on the altar, ready to do what He wants us to do every single day of our life. We must stop living for the purpose of trying to get God to give us what we want. You might be thinking, well, yeah, that don't sound like much fun. Please. When we obey God, we have a joy on the inside of us that you cannot get from anything else. You just can't get it anywhere else. Now, we can make our flesh happy for a few seconds at the price of our spirit being miserable, or we can let our flesh be unhappy for a little while at the price of our spirit being free and full of joy and peace. Got to make your mind up which one is the most important to you. Sanctified, made holy by the Spirit, so we are chosen, foreknown by God the Father, consecrated, sanctified, made holy by the Spirit in order to be obedient to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Wow, wow, wow. And there's another scripture just like it. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Let's just skip over there real quick and look at that one. Since by your obedience to the truth through the Holy Spirit. We can't obey God except through the Holy Spirit. I have to keep saying this over and over and over and over. I'm not trying to drive you into self-effort and self-determination, but to tell you that the moment that you turn in God's direction to do what He wants you to do, at that moment He links up with you and gives you the power to be able to do it. God never, listen to me, God never asks us to do anything without giving us the power and the ability and the equipment to do it. You can do whatever God asks you to do through Christ who strengthens you.
Joyce will be back in just a moment, but right now, Christine Kane is with us because she has asked the same question in her life. And Chris, we've all been there where we're making that choice. Am I going to follow Christ or am I going to continue in my own ways? What was it that you were looking at? What was that decision like for you?
You know, I think it's almost an ongoing decision, Ginger, isn't it?
That's
it's
true.
Like a lot
yeah.
of us think, well, you've just got to make it once. But I have found in every season of my life, Jesus, just like He asked the disciples, He was walking along the shoreline of Capernaum and He said to the disciples, drop your nets and follow Me. And follow Me and I will make you fishers of men. So they had a decision. Do I drop the business that I know? I mean, were they thinking, how long am I following you for? Like, where am I following you to? But the Bible says immediately they dropped their nets and started following. So there's always a cost of commitment. It means sometimes you've got to drop what you know, what your security is, perhaps some of the friends that are leading you down a negative path, perhaps some of the habits that are destructive. Because Jesus says, follow Me, ultimately because He's got a better way. He knows what He's put on the inside of us. He knows our potential. But there's always a cost. Anything worth having costs. And I think we in this generation just think everything ought to come easy. We're, you know, they call us, secular media says this is the entitled generation, that we just sort of think, well, it should be easy. Jesus did it all on the cross. I shouldn't have to pay any price.
What else is it?
And I'm like, whoa, okay, salvation is instantaneous, but our sanctification is a process where we become like Jesus. And really, that's what following Him is. And it's not that He's saying, I want you to drop things because I want you to miss out. Ginger, I think if we remember in our heart of hearts that God is good, God does good, and He works everything together for good, and if He's asking us to drop something that's bad for us, it's actually to pick up something that's better and to become like Him.
And that's important to remember that. He always has something better in mind.
Always.
But when you're letting go of something, that's hard to think about. It's more like, I'm going to hold on to this
instead. Well, totally. And human nature and the flesh, and I mean, a lot of things, either our own insecurities or our selfishness or our greed. I mean, we're all human. And like I said, Ginger, I wouldn't want anyone to think that this is not an ongoing process for me. It looks different as you get older, but there's still always a cost. In order to step up at this level, you've got to let go of things at this level. And, you know, I think if we are willing to pay the price, I mean, the New Testament, a lot of times we don't like to talk about it, but there is a price. And there is a cost to follow Jesus. And the fact is that unless we are willing to pay that price, at some point you actually do stop following Him. And Scripture tells us there are many times where Jesus challenged people a little bit stronger. And the Bible says, and that day many left and many stopped following Him. And I think, you know, there'll be someone watching this program and they're in a group of friends right now and they know in their heart of hearts it's time to let go, you know, maybe not go to the same places that they've all been going, having the same gossipy conversations. And they need to draw a line in the sand that says, if I'm going to follow Jesus, I can't be part of those conversations anymore. I can't be part of going to those places because they're destructive and negative on my life. And they know that if they draw that line in the sand, their friends are going to say, I don't want to be your friend anymore, right. or their family. In my case, when I first came to faith and decided to follow Jesus, you know, many members of my family didn't speak to me for 3 years. They thought I had joined a cult. They thought that I had gone crazy. They thought that, you know, what I had done was really not good. So it's not everyone is rolling out the red carpet going, I'm so happy for you to follow Jesus. So,
and there are a lot of people around the world who face that, who
face
who
great
make
persecution.
Those
oh, yeah.
choices. And not always in other countries, right here in America, like you said.
Oh, yeah.
In your situation, you were in Australia.
Yes.
And tell me a little bit about your background, because
totally.
I know that your family would have chosen maybe a different course.
Well, definitely.
For you.
And, you know, I came from a very strict sort of Greek background. And the fact is that when I made a decision, when I was really introduced with the gospel of Jesus and made a decision, I want to be a follower of Christ, not just a churchgoer,
yeah.
but a very serious follower of Christ. You would have thought all hell broke loose. You know, some people think, come to Jesus, it's all going to be great. In my case, I mean, literally all hell broke loose. And it was like, people were okay if I went to church occasionally, but get serious about this. And that means for me that I felt a call to ministry. And so rather than going down that professional career path, you know, I went into Bible school. Well, I mean, almost every one of my friends and family were like, you're crazy, you're insane, you're throwing your life away, you're throwing your career away, you're throwing your financial future away. My family thought nobody would ever want to marry me because I had become a religious nut. You know, like it's, and I mean now...
All you have to do is find a religious nut to marry and then you're fine.
And you kind of, yeah, you're exact, and I did do that. And so, but the deal is you go down the track 30 years later, but at the time, when you lose every bit of your support system,
yeah,
your family who
hard.
You love dearly, your friends, and you try and explain to them you're not crazy, but you met Jesus and this is what he's requiring of you. And in some cases, it can be as much as, you know what, at lunchtime, I just can't go there anymore. After work, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to stop loving you, but to follow Jesus,
yeah.
I can't keep doing that. Well, not everyone is excited about that decision. And so sometimes, and I think this is the cost, I had a couple of years there that were, Ginger, that were very lonely. Because, well, and I could see, you know, now in the day of social media, it's even worse because back then, at least I couldn't see what everyone else was doing without me every day. Nowadays,
yeah.
you'll either look on Facebook or Instagram and Twitter and you know you're being left out. You know you're being, and it looks like, because you're looking at everyone's highlight reel on social media.
And it all looks so perfect.
Oh, perfect. And they're all having
they're
fun.
Beautiful
and, it's awesome.
And happy.
And you're sitting there going, you know, here I am, it's just me and kind of Jesus. And, you know, the devil is a liar, but he's very loud. And so he screams the lies that you've missed out. You've made the wrong decision. Your life, and you know, the lies come, God's going to want you to marry someone really ugly that you don't even like. You know, you remember you go like, okay, Jesus, I'll follow you. I'll be a missionary in Siberia and marry someone I don't really like, all for the gospel. And I'm like, that's just such a lie. But people think that when they think the cost of discipleship. And rather than understanding God, I know this is a very painful season, but you are good and you do good. And that I know that good's going to come out of this. And when I look at my life today, 30 years later, and you know, a lot of those people that back then either turned their back on me or said very negative things about me, you know, when I see how the Lord has flourished my life and Nick and our daughters and our ministry, and maybe where some of them have ended up, I just find if you live long enough, you discover that God is faithful. And that if he's called you to follow him, it's not to follow him to anything less than, but sometimes you've got to go down to go up and you've got to go through valleys before you go up on a mountain. And for any person that thinks that there's no cost, I can just follow Jesus and do whatever I want to do. I'd have to ask the question of, are you really following Jesus? Because Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So I wonder if we're not being made into fishers of men, are we really following Jesus? Mm-hmm. He didn't say, follow me so I can give you a great, comfortable lifestyle and go out and do whatever. He says, there will be a cost. There'll be people that will talk about you. There will be people that will persecute you. And even here in America, I mean, it's all around the world. But with a decline of people wanting to hear about Christianity in the public mm-hmm. space,
right.
people watching this show, either in the workplace or in school or university, you can be mocked and ridiculed for being a genuine, authentic follower of Christ. If you make a decision, you know what, I want to keep myself morally pure until I'm married. you know, I don't believe, I love everyone, but I don't believe all roads lead to God. I believe Jesus is the path through which we go to God. You know, I've got some strong convictions about right and wrong based on the authority of the Word of God. Well, so I say that because I know people are watching this, and to say there is no easy way through that. Right. There's a cost to commitment.
Let's talk about some of those things also that we give up, because of course God calls us to live a life as He would. And yet some of those other things that He also asks us to give up are not always bad things.
Oh, no.
It's our control. It might be where we live. It might be asking us to move somewhere else, as you've done.
Yes.
But all of those things that we let go of, I want to ask you, why is it worth it? What have you seen in your life that says all those hardships that you're talking about, the persecution, the choices, why is it all worth it? Why do it?
Because your intimacy with Jesus, what you realize is what you gain in your relationship with Him, becoming more like Him. You look back and you do just live long enough and you go, I don't know why I thought that was a big deal. And now in retrospect, it's great when you're this side of it, but when you're this side of it, you're like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you asked me to lay that down, because you dealt with another layer of my selfishness or my greed. And most of it comes down to trusting Him. In fact, that's what it all, if you boil everything down, it's like, am I willing to let go of my control issues, my trust, trying to plan my life my way, trying to orchestrate my life my way, and say, Jesus, your way is better. And you get here and go, I couldn't have made that up. I would never have thought my family would move. I would never have thought, you know, God brought Nick into my life. When I look at how He's orchestrated everything, or start A21, or start Propel Women for Women Who Lead, I could not have made any of that up. But had I not surrendered things at this side, things that I thought, God, I've got to hold on to this. This is, I've got a great plan for my life and I want you to bless it. Basically, that's what it really comes down to. And then it's like, wow, when I let go of that and I paid the price and endured the cost of commitment. And there's, you know, the Bible says with faith and patience, there's a lot of patience and a lot of endurance.
Definitely.
And I think that's where most of us in this generation struggle, because we're not patient for anything. We want a microwave Christianity, but I think God is far more oven than microwave. And He says, would you drop this? Would you trust me? And let's journey on this, and what I've got for you, it's a better way.
Yeah. That is so important to remember the end when we're at the beginning.
Yes,
we
much.
Have to do that. Chris, thank you.
Thank you.
We need that encouragement. Thank you. And help with answering questions in all of our lives, so important. So right now, let's get back to Joyce's answer to the question, what will it cost me to follow Christ?
How many of you, it's very hard for you when somebody mistreats you to just wait on God to bring deliverance? You ain't gonna like these scriptures, I might as well tell you ahead of time. You who are household servants, be submissive to your masters with all proper respect, not only to those who are kind and considerate and reasonable, but also to those who are surly, overbearing, unjust, and crooked. You have got to be kidding. I mean, the first time I read this, I thought, this is nuts. I ain't gonna be nice to somebody that's a jerk. For one is regarded favorably, is approved, acceptable, and thankworthy if, as in the sight of God, he endures the pain of unjust suffering. Ooh. Remember I told you I'm throwing out meat today. This is not a dessert day. After all, what kind of glory is there in it when you do wrong and are punished for it, if you take it patiently? But if you bear patiently with suffering which results when you do right, that is undeserved, now that is acceptable and pleasing to God. For even to this were you called. Huh. Man, that's like the death quiet that you get sometimes. Only one person even made a noise. Well, why in the world would God call us to suffer? I thought we'd been delivered from all that. There are certain things that we have been delivered from. Thank God we don't have to suffer for our sins and misdeeds, that Jesus paid the price for them. Thank God we don't have to go to hell, that we can live in God's presence. But there are other things that we are going to have to go through in order to get out in the world and glorify God and behave the way He wants us to behave. And some of it involves not coming back at people who don't treat you the way that you think you should be treated. Now, I'm not saying that you should let somebody abuse you and walk all over you. My mother let my dad abuse me. She knew what he was doing. She did not leave him, and she was wrong in doing that. She was irresponsible and wrong, and it caused me a lot of pain. Basically, some of the other things my dad did destroyed my brother's life. I'm not saying to sit around and be abusive. Here's what I am saying. Don't just do what you feel like doing. Hear from God first, and then do what God tells you to do. There have been places that I've been in that I wanted to get out of so bad, I don't even know how to tell you how bad I wanted to tell them off and say, I'm out of here. And God would say, not yet. I don't want you leaving with a bad attitude. I don't want you leaving angry. You wait. I'm preparing something. You wait. I'm preparing something. Come on, this is good, deep stuff today. You wait. I'm preparing something. And oh my gosh, when God did promote me, oh, nobody could believe it, including me. I'm still having a hard time catching up with it. I don't have time to tell you all the stories, but oh, I had to learn how to retire from self-protection and self-care. That's God, you're not going to treat me that way. Who do you think you are? I'm not going to put up with that. Verse 21, for even to this you were called, it is inseparable from your vocation, for Christ suffered for you, leaving you his personal example so that you should follow in his footsteps. Verse 22, he was guilty of no sin, neither was deceit or guile ever found on his lips. Now watch verse 23. When he was reviled and insulted, he did not revile or offer insult in return. When he was abused and suffered, he made no threats of vengeance, but he trusted himself and everything to him who judges fairly. Once again, I'm not telling you to sit around and let people abuse you. I'm just saying you go to God before you shoot your mouth off, before you make a decision about what you're going to do. You go to God first and you say, how do you want me to handle this? Should I talk to them? Should I wait on you? Should I get out of here? Do you want me to stay a while? What do you want me to do? Then when the voice comes to you, you give a decision based on what you know that God is asking you to do. You don't consult your own will. You don't ask yourself what you think. You don't run to 10 of your friends to get their advice. You know, half the time we ask people what we ought to do because we really don't want to hear from God to start with. We already know what we ought to do. Bottom line is that we already know, and we're hoping we can find somebody that'll tell us we don't have to do it. James 4:7 says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. It does not just say resist the devil and he will flee, which is the way we normally quote it. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. You know what? When we submit ourselves to God, we're not going to have that much trouble with the devil. This may seem a little foolish, but I'm just gonna say, please. I am begging you. We are living in desperate times in the world today. The Bible says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Can I tell you something? I don't believe that's just talking about because Christ lives in us, we can be glorious. I think that him being in us is his hope of being glorified in the earth today. If you don't want to do this for any other reason, do it for God. Do it because of what he's done for you. Do it because he's so beautiful, so amazing, so awesome that he sent his only son to die and suffer in your place. And let's don't act like it's the end of the world if we got to put up with something for just a little bit and wait on God to make it happen. Don't do things that go against your conscience. Don't do things you don't have peace about. Please, please, please. God has got an amazing plan for your life. Eye has not seen and ear has not heard all the good things that God has made ready, prepared, and stored up for those who love Him and obey Him with affectionate reverence. This is not about, oh, what a terrible life you're going to have because now you have to obey God. God is good. Everything He does is good. He's got good things for you, and I want you to get on the narrow path so you can get to them and find them. Amen. Come on, everybody stand up.
I know that some of what we give up is difficult, but remember, whatever the cost is for you, it is well worth the life that you gain in Christ. You just get so much out of walking with Him, and we have ways to help you do that. This teaching from Joyce is called obedience. Now, let's just be real. Nobody wants to pick up a teaching called obedience. It doesn't sound like something we want to work on. But this is the one that we need. This is the one that will change our lives. When you do what God wants you to do, your life gets better on every level. I know it's true in my life. So this teaching will help you understand what you need to sacrifice and also what you'll gain and how to make it happen on a practical level. There are 4 hours of teaching here. You can get it on a digital download or you can get it on CD. And today we want you to have this at any amount because it's so important and it will make a difference in your life. Now, we love hearing from you. So I want to share with you what Antonio says, and Antonio has seen that difference in their life. I'm at the point where I can rest in knowing God is with me and will never leave me. And as long as I put Him first, my outcome is perfect in His purpose. I've learned to worship when I'm stressed, give thanks in a time when it's uncomfortable. I was a lost soul caught in the streets of Baltimore living in a dark place. Now I know God. I know love, peace, and happiness. Antonio, thank you so much. We're so happy for you, and we love hearing those encouraging stories. Share yours with us. Facebook, Twitter, use hashtag EA for Everyday Answers. And if you have a question, hashtag Ask Joyce, and we'll get those. Even on Instagram, don't forget that one. Just hold up a sign with what you want to tell us. Share your story online. It helps everyone else in this community that we're building is digging through these questions together. So today, tell us, is there something you didn't think you could live without, but God led you to give it up, and today you are so thankful that you followed His direction? Let us know. We want to hear about it. You met Christine Kane today. She will be one of the speakers at this year's Women's Conference. So go to our website for more details on how you can hear more from her live and in person. And don't forget, as we close today, bless someone else. Just do something that God leads you to do that will help them find the answers that they need in their life. We'll see you next time.
The preceding program was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.